Welcome to 100% Healthy-ish. I'm Dr. Jill Murphy, a naturopath, intuitive eating coach, body joy seeker, and French fry activist. And I'm here to help you break up with divisive AF one-way approaches to healthy and help you tap into a dreamy, vibrant, feel-good lifestyle and body. Hello, and welcome back to the Manifesting with the Moon series. I have been terribly, awfully, brutally delinquent. I think that I have missed two episodes at this point, an episode that would have come out in December and an episode in January. And so what I'm hoping to do is just sort of catch you up on where I've been, why I've been a little bit out of it, and what's been going on. You know, it's really interesting because things sort of fell apart because, if I'm honest, even though I could see these small shifts happening, and using this moonly manifestation process where I was really in touch with like what was happening with the moon phases and how it related to how what was showing up in my life and how I was dealing with it and what was coming up for me, I think there was just a tiny part of me that felt like, is this just so repetitive for people who are listening? Like, things are evolving and unraveling, but still the same themes coming up for me. And I could see some change, but anyway, I felt like maybe there was a part of me that felt like it was repetitive. But it's so interesting when I go back and I look at the new moon in November 13th, which is where I kind of like sort of stopped paying attention to the moon cycles a little bit. So much has happened. So much has shifted and evolved in my life. And so I'm going to really try to stick with this until June, which is when I started this challenge, so that I can see how the rest of this plays out. So when I left off on November 13th, the assignment of that new moon was to really let your wild side show through. It was a new moon in Scorpio, I think. And in my notes, I sort of wrote like, I'm not feeling very wild. Like, I'm not sure what this is. And so at that time, mid-November, I set an intention to just sink into enjoyment. There had been a lot of like figuring and trying and perseverance and stick-withedness and launching programs and trying to find a way to scrap some money together to like keep, you know, the wheels turning and everything in motion in my life. And at that point, I was like, okay, I think I'm done with stick-withedness for a little bit, and I just need to sink into enjoying. And that, interestingly, is when I stopped following the phases so carefully and paying so much attention to like every part of every phase and everything that was going on. So I won't bore you with the details that I do have written down through the rest of November and December. We'll start things off on December 26th, but I'll just say there was lots of really fun, amazing moments through that period of time. And it felt very abundant. We got a new car. We celebrated the holidays. That always just feels really abundant to me. We traveled out east to see my family. We saw friends. It was just like, it just felt very celebratory and abundant and amazing. There were, of course, some tricky moments. My sister got very badly hurt, and like it ended up turning into like a surgery later in January, but it was really like it sort of like made things kind of panicked around our travels out east and seeing family and trying to help her get through the holidays because she was hurt. There was some, even though everything was very abundant, it was really interesting that I started to come to terms, I think, even within that abundance, with the fact that the way that I've been running my business hasn't been really working. And I, for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, you know, I dabble in tarot as a way to connect to my intuition, not to like fortune tell. But over and over and over again, I've pulled the Tower card and the Death card. And if you know what those cards are, they're not as scary as they sound, but they do tend to mean that something needs to crumble. And that something needs to die in order for something new to be born. And so through this period of time, while I was enjoying and sinking into pleasure and abundance, and we traveled to New York and had a really fun weekend with the kids, I came to terms with the fact that my business, the way it's been currently running, is not working. I'm scrambling too much. I'm working too hard for less and less return. I don't like social media right now at all. It just wasn't working. And I think as I've been pulling the Tower card and the Death card for a year and a half to 2 years, I just kept thinking, I just need to reinvent the business. I need to reinvent the business. And I didn't know what it was going to mean or what it was going to look like. But I believe that through the end of November and December, I decided it was time to sort of let the current iteration of my business die. And that's kind of weird to say out loud because I haven't said that out loud in this way, even though you'll hear as we go through, so much has changed. So, what does that mean? What does that look like? I'm just gonna like catch my breath and then let's start this episode on December 26th. Okay, so I want to bring you into this story on December 26th because I feel like the end of November, December, like I said, was this very abundant, pleasure-filled phase. And on December 26th, you know, the big, all the pressures of Christmas were over. It was a real high. You know, I mentioned that my sister was hurt. There was something, she was moving differently that day. I was like, wow, you like seem different. And she was like, it was a back injury. And she was like, yeah, I feel like something's different. Like, I think it just felt really good. And my sister and her husband and their kids left PEI to go home. My husband and I went for a dunk in the ocean. It was just like, it felt like being reborn a little bit. And we were coming up to the full moon, which is a period of time of like big letting go and releasing. And so this whole day just felt like a day of releasing and excited. And that evening, I had a glass of red wine and we were eating chocolate and we watched this movie, Confess Flett, which is just like very silly and funny. And we all loved it. And it was like, ah, like life is so good. And then woke up the next morning, full moon, December 27th. And I was so sick. And there had been this abundance of people looking to sign up for my programs through December, which felt so good. But there was this mass of people like ghosting me, asking for refunds, wanting to change the plan. Like it wasn't everybody, but there was enough people that it was kind of significant. I was sick. I woke up feeling so terrible, like just I had sinusitis, my head was full, I felt awful. And it kind of continued like that into the new year. Like we went to Fredericton to visit friends, and then we came back. We were supposed to go to this friend's big 60th birthday party, like a real, you know, moment for this friend, throwing herself this super beautiful birthday party on New Year's Eve. And I was going to help with so many things. And we were so sick. I just couldn't. And I thought, like, what the fuck? Like, you know, is this the way to start a new year? It had been not a banner year. When I look back on 2023, it was like kind of boring, kind of ho-hum, a lot of repetitiveness, nothing that stood out as like, I shouldn't say nothing stood out. I traveled to Mexico City. I went to New York with my kids. We had a great summer, but I don't know. There's just something about 2023 that felt hard. And I think it was this, the realizing that something really big had to shift in my life, but I just wasn't kind of doing anything about it. So it was time to start the new year. And, you know, we all know what that means, New Year's resolutions and intentions, and everybody's asking. And I just didn't have one. And I don't know about you, but this happens to me frequently, where the new year hits and I am just not ready to like kick into New Year's intentions or resolutions. I love them. I love doing them, but I'm not ready. I think I do so much leading up to actual Christmas because I love it and I love like events and hosting and going to parties and making magic for my kids and the family. that like I only really start to relax after the holidays and I often end up sick. So for me, I almost need that first week of January to like get back on my feet. And then I'm ready to think about things. And it was so interesting because I don't know if you know Jess Fields, but she is such a leading voice in the human design field. She is business besties with my business mentor, Erica Reitman, but I knew of her long before I even knew Erica. And so Jess sent out this newsletter series on the human design approach to the new year. And it's really interesting because the new year in human design doesn't happen until like a few weeks into January. And it resonated so deeply with me that I just decided to follow her newsletters and follow her prompts to help me get into the new year. So the first part of the new year from the human design perspective is a phase called tension. And this was so perfect because I was like sick and I had just gotten through December. December felt like a reprieve from everything that I had been battling with all year. And the tension phase of the New Year exploration is all about remembering what had been hard about the year before, like really taking stock. And so I felt like I was sick again, which I had been many times. I wasn't feeling my best. My back was terrible. There was some, money worries popping up. And so I was in this real phase of tension. Like, I don't know what to do. I just know that I feel yuck. And it's reminding me of what didn't feel good in the past year. So there were some prompts to answer, which I thought were really interesting. Prompts like, what are you most proud of? And how was the past year fulfilling? And what was your driving force? And I just, what I was most proud of was staying calm and clear and present with my kids, even when there was extreme financial stress, seeing the possibility and the potential of it all, being kinder and more generous and more loving, even when I was personally struggling the most. So in the past, I have been very generous when life is going well for me and very stingy when life is not. And so I just felt good about being able to stay generous when life was hard. My biggest fail of 2023, I had written not figuring out my career again. Like, how could I be 44 and have done all the work I've done and accomplished all the things I've accomplished and still feel insecurity in my income stream and my business? And it just felt like a huge fail. And then, what else is there? What brought you closer to yourself, your true self? And I wrote, being home, having less stress and more time, eating better, liking my body more, having space in my day, great outfits, good food. And there were many more prompts, but the other one I really liked was, where did you practice courage this year? And for me, it was in my communication. I practiced a lot of courage. So, in this tension phase, it's about identifying what needs to change. And I just wrote, I need to figure out my career. And so, I had written out four threads. I decided at the beginning of the year that I would just follow four lines of inquiry when it came to my career. Like, I would just focus on my current business and I like finished off a sales funnel for some one-on-one work. And blocking time off for writing and pitching and, social media and whatever form it was going to take. I was going to follow the trail or the thread or the breadcrumbs toward more in-person work and what that might look like. I was going to follow a thread of consulting. I have a friend that has a consulting business, and it's like maybe I should just be in consulting, like business to business work versus business to client or patient. And then I had this like open thread, which was like, let's just see what fun things present themselves in front of me. The next phase of the human design New Year intention setting is called ambition. And this energy of ambition is in the community. Like it's about taking time to contemplate who you have around you, which I found so interesting. Like, who are the people that have been there for you? Who have you impacted? Who are you in a mutual give and take with? These people are keys to your ambition and your transformation. They are the foundation of new beginnings, which is so interesting. I had never thought about that. And so it was really fun to take some time to think about, like, who are my best allies? Who brings out the best in me? Who can I work with and trust and like really rely on? Who recognizes me? Who do I impact? Who responds to me? Who do I respond to? It was very, very, very interesting. And then the new moon came up during this period, and there was just a lot of big stuff. Like we had bought that new car in December, and there was some stuff that came up because it wasn't a new car; it was like a secondhand new car. So some stuff came up about that. Some big bills. My back was in terrible shape, so I was struggling in my body. Like I just felt like I was like struggling in all levels. I felt kind of stuck. And then the new moon on January 11th came at the same time as the third phase of the new year process. And this phase is called assessment. And it was really interesting that it showed up in this moment where I was feeling very stuck. Because again, like I want you to remember, it's like new year. Everyone is moving forward with intentions and goal setting. And like it's a new year and time to harness. And I just feel like I had been moving very deeply through muck at the beginning of the year, tension, feeling stuck, you know, contemplating who's in my life and how they affect me, but just like no action, just stuck. So this next phase is called assessment. And this is the center that this is Jess's words from her newsletter, powers inspiration and can also lead us to chase shiny objects and get distracted, searching for that inspiration. We are also going to go from feeling the physical pressure, the drive to do, into the feeling pressure, the mental pressure to think. The assessment phase invites us to contemplate what our inner truth is. It's a beautiful time to reflect, to imagine, and to be inspired. And so I just really sunk into it because I was feeling so stuck. And it allowed me to really, you know, as I was contemplating these four possibilities for my business and moving forward, I was able to really step, like just dream. When am I in my most flow? When am I doing what I love? What would my ideal day look like? What's possible right around the corner? What does the world need that I want to provide? Like it was a really timely, fun brainstorming process. And I set the new moon intention at that time to take action toward finding something new. So December became clear that something needed to shift, most likely, but I was in this like pleasure, enjoyment, celebration, having fun. The beginning of January hit and it was like, whoa, like heads up, something still needs to change. Don't get distracted. And I was forced to kind of sit in the muck. But around the new moon in January, I started to get very clear that I needed to do something new. And I followed a few really fun opportunities that presented themselves around this time. An opportunity to potentially be a business manager for a business that I love, a consulting conversation. And then the opportunity to finish up some training in an area that I have been very interested in since probably about 2020, I think, actually. And so I followed these breadcrumbs, if you will. And the door was shut on me really hard in a couple of the directions, which is fine. Because that's part of this exploratory process. It's the reason I put out feelers in four directions. But there was this one direction, this taking my business back to in person, not necessarily letting go of the online work that I'm doing, but really pursuing this in-person work and this possibility of training. But the training's out in Vancouver and I just wasn't sure. It's full in March and I wasn't sure. There was supposed to be a training in Ontario early in the new year, which I had been interested in, but it seemed to have fallen apart. And I wasn't sure if another door was actually closing on me when it came to this potential in-person work. So just to backstep and clarify for a moment, so I'm a naturopathic doctor. I had a general naturopathic practice. And then I focused on body image and intuitive eating in about 2013. And I went full-time into that work in 2017. And I started doing that work mostly online before the pandemic, which was very new and kind of pushing the limits. And a lot of people didn't really understand it when I started doing it. It was like telemedicine, like this, it's no good. It can't be any good. Are we even allowed to do it? You know, like it was, there's lots of question marks around it. And then the pandemic hit and I was so well set up that I had some really huge successful years because I had been prepared to work online for so long before that. But it's been affecting me. It's been affecting my eyes and my body. And also through the pandemic, I had an injury in my shoulder that just would not heal up. And a friend of mine had trained in this. It's a dry needling technique, but it is based on myofascial lines and patterns in the body. It's like a very unique assessment process that no one else is doing, that this doctor out in Vancouver founded. And I had one tiny treatment and my shoulder injury was gone, never to be heard of again. And I've always been, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, super, you know, I have a kin degree. I've always been very interested in fascia and the human body. And so this needling technique and this process of evaluating the body and resolving pain without drugs, like obviously really appeals to this naturopathic, you know, biomechanical side of my brain. But I had this other big business and I just had no time for this thing. So kind of just put it on hold. And then, you know, over the past year, as things have been a struggle, I thought maybe I should do this work. But again, I couldn't figure out how I was going to get trained. So did some things. And then how am I going to get out to Vancouver again? And so finally, I just spoke to Dr. Siren Greg, who's out in Vancouver, and sort of, you know, in this exploration of possibilities, contacted him and said, how do I get going? And he, you know, one of my best friends, the one who treated me when I had the shoulder injury, he said, you know, she's been doing this work for like 3 years. She's incredible. She's so well trained. I am going to give her license to train you because she's in Ontario. And I really, you know, want to get this going. And the only other people in Ontario that do this work is like a physiatrist in Burlington, a couple of ER doctors, a physiotherapist, I think up north in Ontario. So he was really gung-ho. And so we set up a training protocol and plan. And it felt like the door just swung open instead of getting shut in my face. And there was this weird rush and this weird flow. And then the waxing quarter arrived along with the final phase of the Human Design New Year process. And that phase was acceptance, inviting us to not only let go before we jump into the new year, but to let go by accepting our limitations, to contemplate how to best prepare to move forward for the new cycle by accepting what we believe limits us. And so I had to do this exercise where I thought about all the things that were limiting me, like why it took me so long to come around to the realization that this work that I've been interested in for like 3.5 years is the work I should be doing. And so I worked through that. It was really, really big. And it had a lot to do with how others might feel about me changing my work, if it would feel like a failure, the financial and time investment in shifting things, being worried that I was going to like make the wrong choices, Yeah, but I worked through it and out of it just poured this action list. And I finally felt ready to like set my intentions and make a list of to-dos for the new year. And like I made actionable items for the month. I made actionable items for the first quarter of the year and for the whole year. And then there was also a prompt for 5 years, but I never like 5-year prompts. I kind of feel like, does anybody know where they're going to be in 5 years? I don't. So I let that go. And, full moon came at on January 25th near the end, and still just like really moving into, moving out of stuckness and into action. So we went to the lake and we had a plunge, and then just had this last weekend of January that was like very chill and all about resting and recovering and like getting ready to get down to business. And I was already in the training. And then the following week, I was in Toronto and I was training and I was there for a bat mitzvah and some celebrations. And I'm just like deep in the work. And so many things have been falling into place. And I'll maybe do some more updating in the next podcast about that. But it just feels like, I was going to follow these three threads and see which one kind of unraveled in front of me. And three of those little threads were sort of cut short. And one really started to unravel in the most beautiful way. And so over the course of this week, this dark moon, I've just really been mucking through some last things that I need to let go of that are pulling me back, that are keeping me from being fully immersed in this new path and this new process. And this new moon that's happening today as I record is about planting seeds for the rest of the year. And when I saw that prompt, like, what are the seeds that you want to plant? Seeds that will, you'll tend to through the spring and that will bloom in the summer, and that, whose abundance you will harvest in the fall. I had no answers. I wasn't totally sure. And so I pulled some tarot cards. So I pulled three cards, and the questions that I asked as I pulled the cards are, what are the seeds I want to plant for the coming year? What will happen if I plant them? And what will help me along the way? And it was so interesting. The card I pulled, what are the seeds I want to plant, is the Seven of Pentacles, which, like, if you look at it, is literally a man with a hoe in a garden, and it looks like he is planting things. And what that card represents is planting the seeds of long-term results, long-term sustainable results, perseverance and investment, which feels so perfect because that's what I'm in. And if I'm honest, this week I spent so much money. But it's just part of a new endeavor, right? Like, I'm training, there's material, there's supplies, there's courses, I need in person, I have to rent space if I'm going to be doing this work. So there's been a lot of output, but it really affirmed for me that I am planting the seeds of something that I think is going to be really good for me long term and that I'm going to enjoy and is also going to be great work for me. So the next card was, what will happen if I plant them? And I pulled the Nine of Pentacles, which looks like it's just like this beautiful woman with some sort of hawk on her hand, which just, oh, it just feels very like luxurious. Like, where do you have a hawk? You have a hawk, if you're in a beautiful gown with a hawk on your hand, if you're at like an English mansion kind of thing. So the card represents abundance and financial independence and luxury and a stable foundation for material wealth and comfort. And material wealth for me it's much smaller than I think most people might think when they think about that. It isn't actually an English mansion. It's much more simple than that. But again, it just felt good to think like, I'm investing, I'm shifting, I'm changing. It's very scary to potentially dial back on something that has been my work for so long and think about putting my focus somewhere else, but it was just affirming that I'm going in the right direction. And then what will help along the way? And I pulled the Wheel of Fortune, which just feels like a lots of good luck. And I don't feel like 2023 was a year of a lot of good luck for me. It felt like a year of neutral to bad luck. And the Wheel of Fortune is all about the fact that the good luck always comes back around. And karma is here to support us. And it's about destiny and turning points. And for me, it was just a sign of a lot of really good things to come. So this new moon intention for me is, and if you're someone who's been working with me for a long time on intuitive eating and body image and healthy-ish stuff, don't worry, you can still get me, and I'm still working with people, and that's active. But where my real focus is going to be is on this new endeavor. And the work is called myoactivation. You can find more information about it at drjillianmurphy.com. And you can actually book in there if you happen to be in Kingston. If you have pain, injury, lack of range of motion or movement issues anywhere in your body, book yourself in. If you have chronic fatigue, if you have fibromyalgia, if you have like any of these chronic pain issues, migraines, headaches, book yourself in. I'm going to be working temporarily. I'm just trying things out, trying things on for size. Temporarily working Wednesdays at Glow here in Kingston and Thursdays at Full Circle Health Network. And I may add some other days on as well, but that's where I'm going to start so that I can still manage the other work that I have on my plate. And I'm just really excited about it. And I hope that you will stay tuned and continue to come along for the ride. And as always, I am very interested to hear what's coming up for you. I mean, this feels genuinely like the real new year to me the past couple of weeks. And I'm just wondering how your new year's going and if you've set any intentions. So feel free to leave a voice message if you want, or to shoot me an email, hello at healthy.ish.ca. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me about everything that's going on with you. And until next time, have a good one.